Silence for a while.
It would have been funnier if I had just kept, like, let the silence go.
Yeah.
If I just didn't say anything as it started.
Make them wait.
Make them wait for this, what will be, I'm sure, glorious content that you're all direly waiting for.
Judging by our response of Twitter questions, y'all are just chomping at the bit for this one.
Everyone's at spring break. Everyone wants to talk about nothing and beers and water and beaches, and no one wants to talk about any TC related sports. And I get it. It's a rough week, really, for the most part.
Yeah.
Pretty much all the way around. So this is going to be a very uplifting, bright podcast, I guarantee you.
Always is.
We're going to talk a little bit about basketball, the end of the men's season. The women, they're currently playing Baylor. Last I saw, they were down quite a bit in their last game of the season, assuming they end up losing this game. Baseball, they were going to win like 19 in a row, right?
That's what we said.
Then ran into a couple of tough losses. But on the bright side, spring has sprung, and spring football springs next week.
Yes.
So that's a potentially bright spot. We're talking about a couple things we're looking for as that gets underway. But yeah, first, Clint, how you doing today?
I'm doing good. And according to the Fort Worth Zoo, their Twitter and Instagram accounts, the horned lizards have emerged from their winter hibernation. Their slumber is over. So we can expect nothing but good things.
Nothing but good things right now. So should I or should I not look up the score of the TCU women's game against Baylor?
Well, yeah, go ahead.
4 minutes left. TCU's down by 22. They're not going to pull that. They're not going to pull that one out.
Well, but, you know, miracles are still miracles.
Are still miracles. You know what? Let's just start with the women's basketball because they got a win this week.
They did. And that was really great.
It was great. They beat Kansas. So anytime a basketball team beats Kansas, you feel good about 75-72 in the first round of the Big 12 tournament. Lauren Hurd went for 26-8-4. It's 8 boards, 4 assists. And Tavy Diggs was for 26-4. So big day for the Lady Frogs the other day.
Yeah.
But of course, today not looking so well. But not many people do well against Baylor this year.
Not many.
In women's basketball.
Yes.
Or men's basketball.
For that matter, yeah.
But we'll see if Baylor
gets to live in dark times.
We'll see if Baylor gets to play anybody because Kansas just had a drop out of their game against Texas tonight in the Big 12 tournament. And that, I mean, makes you think the tournament starts next Friday. They have to go 7 days without a positive test.
Yeah.
And they're pushing it for some reason.
Yeah.
This seems awfully stupid right now.
I know. I was thinking, though, I mean, because they were saying during the TCU basketball game, which we'll get to in a second, how Kansas has been to 30 straight NCAA tournaments. And, you know, obviously that could be in jeopardy if they're having to forfeit. But
yeah.
I was sitting there thinking, like, I cannot even fathom. That's every NCAA tournament of my life, right? I can't even fathom my basketball team literally never not playing in March.
Yeah. I've gotten to fill out a bracket one time with TCU.
And yeah,
I guess exactly. I mean, I could have, what was it, 90? Eight.
Yeah,
they made it. I guess I could have when I was 12.
But we weren't interested back then.
I didn't know TCU existed in 98.
Yeah.
And didn't have a clue.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, and the men will not be in it this year after their gut-wrenching, brutal 71-50 loss to Kansas State.
Gut-wrenching is right.
With an exclamation point, the worst loss of the Dixon era.
Absolutely.
Because the loss to Kansas State earlier this year was the worst loss of the Dixon era.
And this one was worse.
In
more ways than one.
More ways than one, yeah. Because they lost to Kansas State at home 62-54 back on February 20th. And here we are 3 weeks later, losing by even worse in a postseason game. Just brutal, man. And Kansas State, like, I get they played better of late, but they're not good.
Mm-mm, no.
And they did hang around Baylor.
And you lose to them by 20 points.
Was TCU actually the worst team in the Big 12 this year?
They finished the worst, I tell you that much.
Well, they
I mean, Iowa State had demonstrably the worst record, and we did beat Iowa State twice, but yes. I mean, this team got demonstrably worse as the season went on. Talking about it.
Yeah, we were looking stuff up before because we're trying to find the moment that the flip switched. The switch flipped rather, but they beat Iowa State twice by combined 7 points. I was looking that up, and Iowa State didn't win a tournament game.
Yeah,
but yeah, and I was thinking, well, it's got to be the Missouri game, right? Because in the Missouri game, they lost 102-98. They scored 98 points that game, which is I was like, how was I saying they scored like a lot of points? And I was like, 64,
like 1998.
That's a lot of points. Yeah, they were up 82-72 with 3:07 left. To Missouri, and obviously lost that one. I was like, well, is that the turning point? No, not really, because then they won the next two games. They beat Oklahoma State by 3, who's now ranked. They weren't ranked then. Mm-hmm. That's easily TCU's two best wins. Somehow they beat Oklahoma State and the assumed number one overall pick in the draft twice, and they beat Iowa State twice. They beat Oklahoma State and Iowa State, and then they lost every game. They beat Iowa State once
one more time.
But once that that cold snap hit, once the blizzard came in.
Yeah, got cold in Fort Worth and got cold in Schaumeier too.
That it's just bad, man. And I'm still not ready to have the Dixon conversation because I still think if this happens next year, then I think it's probably time to have the conversation.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah, it's still not time to fire him yet. I tweeted about this, but that game changed my opinion, and then I'm like, the seat is now hot for me. The patience is waning. So yeah, if he doesn't do, he has a team next year that he can make waves. He can make an NCAA tournament with the talent that's on that team next year.
Well, you say that. He has the same talent he has now.
But they're a year older.
They'll presumably be all a year older, yes. I mean, they will all be literally a year older as well. But like, so will pretty much everyone from Baylor. They'll probably lose a player or two. Kansas will probably lose a player or two.
I'm not saying he needs to win the Big 12.
No.
I'm saying he needs to be in the top seven of the conference. That is an attainable goal with this team. And if you can't do it, then you have to have the conversation. I don't know who the heck we're going to hire.
And so that's something that I looked up. I came up with four names. And I sent them to you earlier. You're like, I don't like any of these.
Yeah, I hate them all.
There's at least a little bit of interesting names in here, if nothing else. But yeah, these aren't upgrades.
No.
These are at best lateral moves.
One of them's lateral, and the others are just like, one of them is just like wishing for disaster.
Yes. Yeah.
Just like, that's please burn our basketball program down.
Yes. Like, I'm excited. Oh, I wonder which one you think is a lateral move. Let's go through the list as I wrote them. The first one I wrote down, Scott Cross.
I think he's the closest to a lateral move.
You think so?
Because he was a part of this coaching staff. He's had success at UTA. He's having a hard time at Troy.
He's 20-39 in his first 2 years at Troy.
Yeah.
But they did win 11 games this year compared to just 9 last year. So he's maybe building something, but it is also at Troy.
Yeah. I think that's a lateral move, but it's not something that's going to, because it's a lateral move, it's not something that would inspire
these anybody. Next two could feasibly be upgrades.
Okay.
Archie Miller.
Sell me on him.
It's been an overall disappointing tenure at Indiana, but again, a disappointing tenure at Indiana is we're going to build a statue of you here at TCU, right? Mm-hmm. So he hasn't made the tournament since joining them in 2017, so maybe not a statue. But they likely would have made the tournament last year. They had 20 wins. They're Indiana. They probably would have made the dance last season, but they went 12-15 this year. And apparently he's on the hot seat in Indiana. Mm-hmm. So again, Indiana, like UCLA, if you go to the tournament once every 5 years at UCLA, you're fired. If you go once every 5 years here, you get a statue made of you.
But then, like, if we just talk about numbers, how is that much different than Jamie Dixon? He was on the hot seat at Pittsburgh. He had taken Pittsburgh to Final Fours.
Yeah.
And you assume that he can do that here? I mean, what's to say that Archie Bunker can do the same thing in Fort Worth?
Oddly enough, he's named after Archie Bunker. Fun fact, I learned that
from
his Wikipedia page today. Yes.
What a namesake.
Right? That's something nowadays. Cancel him. I don't think it's a right move. I don't think it's a good move. But these are names that, like, These are names.
That just period.
And people are like, get rid of Dixon. And I'm not saying get rid of Dixon. I think he's obviously got at least another year. I think he's under contract for two more, I think, after this year.
And I want him to succeed so bad.
Yes, he's the local boy.
Yes.
Come home. He was hopefully going to be LeBron, go back to Cleveland, win a title.
Yes.
At least take us to the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
I'm not expecting to win a title.
Yeah.
But Sweet 16
is the equivalent of that for us.
Of LeBron winning a title in Cleveland. Yes. I think so. I think that's probably a fair statement. But yeah, not asking for a ton, but Archie Miller is a name who is on the hot seat and might be on the outs in Indiana. So maybe that's a call you make if you do something with Dixon. But again, don't fire Dixon. Again, they missed 100 practices this year.
No, yeah.
It's not all him. It's been a bad year for everybody, and just hope by next year all this is cleared up. Hopefully most people are chosen to get the vaccine, or if they're not, at least people are being safer and smarter and overall healthier, and we can get to a normal year next year. So we'll see.
I mean, the 100 practices is still as true as it was when we were talking about it earlier in the year. Like, you can explain away a lot of the nonsense that occurred to TCU basketball this year with that alone, because it's a young team that didn't get to practice enough. But what was so frustrating to me, and I feel like so frustrating to so many Frog fans who are listening to us, is you watch that Kansas State game and say, this team is literally worse than the team that started the season. And that is the one thing that you cannot accept.
Yeah.
Right? Especially when you're trying to build something, right? Yeah, but in any circumstance.
I think they have the youngest team in the conference and one of the 30 youngest in all of D1 or something like that.
And the turnovers were no better. They were arguably worse. They were awful and stupid. And, like, the shooting was ice friggin' cold to start the game. I mean, and you even get to the point where the Frogs come back, they take a little lead, and you're sitting there thinking, this lead isn't safe. There's no way.
Because then they gave up, 21-4 run or something like that after that. And it just snowballed from there. A bunch of cold references in this podcast today. How about this next one? Speaking of being cold, Richard Pitino. He's at Minnesota. Yeah. It's cold there, I've heard.
It is.
He's 140-122 in his 8 years there. But just 14-26 the last 2 years in Big Ten play. He's made
the Big Ten with 16 teams.
He's made two NCAA tournaments. They beat Louisville in the first round in 2019 and won the NIT his first year. So he won the NIT his first year. But has taken step backs. I think he finished 12th and 13th the last 2 years in the Big Ten. So maybe that's another option. Maybe he's on the hot seat there, cold seat, or whatever temperature is least comfortable to sit on. That could be another Twitter question. B Banks, get on this.
That is worth discussion.
But a cold seat eventually you can't feel it.
That's true.
I guess if a hot seat gets too hot, then you can't feel it either.
Yeah, I mean, either way, you're going to hurt.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a win-win.
Yeah.
It's a lose-lose.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just need the middle temperature.
I want to say it was on one of the old Jackass movies that they sat on a block of ice without any pants.
That sounds right.
Yeah, and that didn't go well.
Yeah, I was thinking of the James Bond movie where he had to sit with a hole in the bottom of it. Too.
Okay, yeah.
That was also probably, it seemed uncomfortable.
Yes.
Someone who would appreciate a cheer with a hole in the bottom of it the most is probably Pitino. Richard's father, Rick Pitino.
Yes.
That Rick.
Nicely done, Bill.
Thank you. Went 8-5 at Iona this year. He's the 9th seed of the MAAC, but they beat the top seed Siena in their tournament. They play later today on ESPN News, so get to your local television and see if he can lead whatever the Iona mascot is. And my buddy...
Gales, I believe.
My buddy Ryan Thomas on Facebook, Ratman, as we called him back in the day, he proposed that during the Kansas State game. I was like, I want to hate this idea. And I do overall dislike that idea.
Billy.
I dislike the idea, but...
Don't talk yourself into it.
But could this be a job where he comes to for 2 years to get a bit more of notoriety, and then Kentucky fires Calipari because they're going to stink, or Coach K retires, and Pitino's rebuilt his image after being at TCU, a good Christian school, for 2 years, and he's been on the up and up and taken him to the tournament twice, and then he bounces. What's wrong with that? Do we not like that idea?
Well, this is... I mean, it's like SMU hiring Larry Brown. This is a dude who's dirty.
A cheater and a liar.
Yeah, why do you want to bring him in and make him a part of it?
Because what's the worst that's going to happen? They're not going to make the tournament for 4 years? Whoa.
That's better than... Okay, you got to...
You get an NCAA ban where you can't make the tournament. At least you win a bunch of games in the regular season. That'd be fun.
But at what cost? At the cost of your image? I mean, Baylor is forever stained by the Art Briles stink.
But Rick Pitino just had an adult female friend that he had spaghetti and meatballs with. And then he paid recruits.
Well, yeah, I'm not saying that Rick Pitino is as bad as Art Briles.
He is illegal by NCAA standards. Yes. He is not illegal by God and the justice system.
Yeah.
Yes. But
Rick Pitino, I mean, he's more akin to what's that awful guy who was at Arkansas and had the
Petrino.
Yeah, Bobby Petrino.
Sounds way too close to home.
Yeah. And it's just, I don't want that. No, I don't want to root for that.
I would rather have Richard Pitino.
Yes.
Little Dick Pitino. Yeah. And not Big Rick Pitino.
Yeah, not Big Dick Pitino.
Yeah, it's Richard Pitino, not Rick Pitino. That'd be my preferred choice of these options would be that one. But my preferred of all the options is Dixon.
Yes.
It was also Dixon 5 years ago when my second option was Chris Beard. So I was like, I want Dixon or Beard.
And, yep.
It seems like door number one had the $1 million. Door number two has the used Honda Civic.
I guess so, man.
So,
but it was, one of them was very much sight unseen. You saw Chris Beard do great things at Little Rock. But you were like, I don't know. Can he? What can he do at the Big 12? You'd seen Dixon achieve at one of the best conferences. So by all rights, and he's, like you say, he's a hometown guy. He's the guy we all wanted.
And now we've not seen Dixon succeed at one of the big conferences.
Yeah.
And it's painful to watch.
Very
but,
painful.
But in people want to say, well, the UCLA thing, that's kind of where all went awry. And the argument to that is, well, look at the players he's brought in since that. Because that was after the 2019 season. Mm-hmm. So before last season. I don't know, there's probably a better way to describe that. It was in May of 2019 when that flirtation happened. So look at the players he brought in since then. Mike Miles. Everyone loves Mike Miles. Eddie Lampkin. Everyone loves Eddie Lampkin. We haven't seen him play a whole lot yet, but gosh, he's lovable.
Yeah.
If nothing else, he's a lovable guy. And then the other guy, just worth mentioning, is former 5-star Chuck O'Bannon, transferred here.
Yeah.
So it...
Recruiting hasn't slowed down. And those guys, definitely Chuck O'Bannon and Mike Miles, those are the two of the guys you feel best about on the entire roster.
Yeah.
Honestly.
They're starting.
So that, the UCLA thing... I mean, you can point a lot of fingers at Dixon for a lot of reasons, but we were talking about this before we started recording. UCLA really isn't one. It doesn't seem to have affected.
No, because the older players, like, well, he almost quit on us. Like, Kevin Samuel's still around.
Yeah.
Arjun Imbert's playing the best he's ever played, and he's still looks like he's trying.
Yeah.
And again, not withholding Wednesday, because no one really wanted to be there anymore by 5 minutes left in that game.
Yeah.
No one wanted to be left there, and it's been a trying season on everybody. Jaden Ledee's been brought up, I want to say from the dead, but he was a guy that we thought was going to be an underwhelming player for his entire tenure, and he's improved by leaps and bounds the last month or so of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So he's been impressive to watch. So yeah, it's hard to be like, oh, this Dixon flirting with UCLA has been totally detrimental to the team when that's not true.
Yeah. So, I mean, there remains hope for next year, but the reality is now that if that hope doesn't materialize into success, into wins, then you've got to have the hard conversation of where do we go from here? Because this cannot continue.
If the same thing happens next year where they're in the bottom three spots in the conference, clearly not going to be an NIT team, and they're clearly they got waxed by whoever in the first round of the Big 12 tournament.
Oh, if you have a season like this next year, there's no question. It has to stop.
I agree.
But I think even if you make the NIT next year, you have to have a serious conversation about, is this the way we want to continue doing things?
So what's the lowest ceiling where you'd be okay with next year? Seventh in the Big 12? Because that likely gets you in the tournament.
Yeah, the lowest ceiling is seventh in the Big 12. You lose in the first round of NCAA tournament. That's the lowest ceiling I'll accept.
Well, what was the year when they won the NIT? Didn't they finish like seventh in the Big 12 that year too, and they just happened to miss it?
Well, that's a good point.
I don't remember exactly, but I remember it was something like that.
Brandon Parrish, where you at?
Where they were on the bubble at least, because that was in what was that an 18? They ended up winning the whole thing, the 17-18. No, that was when they went to the tournament. 16-17 was when they won the whole kit and caboodle. They were hot.
16.
Yeah, they had won. They've got 5, 6. They had 8, 7 Big 12 wins in the regular season. So they went 7. No, that's not true. 6 Big 12 wins in the regular season, and then won 2 tournament games.
Mm-hmm.
So they beat Oklahoma, and then
was that the year they beat Kansas?
That was the year they beat then number 1 Kansas. So you ain't no freshman, Desmond Bain.
Yes.
So, man, the top scorer of the game they lost to Iowa State in the third round, I guess the Big 12 semifinals, was Jalen Fisher. Wow. It's fun hearing that name. But, yeah, they won 6 Big 12 games that year. So, or is that...
So what place did they finish, you said?
6 would have put them in... I can't see this. I can't see the standings on this. But I'm sure that put them in not terrible, like in that conversation of 7th or... They were probably better than 8th. They were probably 7th that year. I'm sure I could look it up if you want to vamp for a second.
Yeah, well, I mean, okay, so what you're trying to get at is that if next year's team was to finish 7th and win the NIT, is that still acceptable? Okay, yeah, sure. If they win the NIT, then I guess you can justify keeping him. But I'm really feeling tournament or bust next year.
Well, yeah, because we've been hyping up this team for so long.
Yeah.
Actually, wow, at 6-12, they finished 8th in the Big 12.
Okay, so yeah.
So which is shocking.
7th usually gets you in out of the Big 12 in this modern era of basketball.
Wow, is this true? Was this really the Big 12 standings that year? Because TCU at 6-12 was 8th. 9th was 5-13 Oklahoma, and 10th was 4-14 Texas.
Oh, yeah. Texas was trash there for a while.
Oof. Before. And Texas Tech was 7th at also 6-12.
Yeah. Yeah. Tech was trash for a while until Chris Beard came in. Well, and Oklahoma is only recently.
But yeah, but TCU, again, they look good for a while. Look like a shoo-in for a while. And then they lost to Baylor, OK State, Iowa State, Kansas, West Virginia, and Kansas State and Oklahoma all in a row. They lost the last 7 games of the regular season that year.
In 16?
The year they won the NIT.
Is that right?
They lost the last 7 games of the regular season when probably 2 of those wins would have gotten you in the dance.
Wow, I didn't remember things finishing so bad
that year. I remember it was bad. I don't remember it was the very... They lost by 1 to West Virginia. They lost by 1 to Kansas State. They lost by 3 to Oklahoma State in that stretch.
Well, my memory is so colored by that NIT run and frankly being excited to be in the NIT that year. So, yeah, I had completely forgotten just the collapse in conference play.
Lost to number 12 West Virginia by 1. Yeah, wow. And if I recall correctly, I think that was when Kenny Hussle he tried a wide open 3 at the buzzer, if I recall correctly. But it was like from the corner when he could have had a couple more seconds, could have gotten closer for a better look. Mm. If I recall correctly. Maybe I'm just crazy, but all these things run together. And if I can pull out one memory from a game from 5 years ago, a random basketball game, that's absurd.
My ROM on my brain is so preoccupied with football memories. Yeah, right? The others get fuzzy sometimes.
Yep. but yeah, so that was your quick basketball rundown. Again, so Dixon, this time next year, if the same thing happens again, time to have a conversation. But because all those names just mentioned are mostly trash.
Mm, yes,
nothing exciting. And also trash is baseball having to play, 5 games in 6 days, all in the greater Houston area, which is a trash city, as we know.
Yeah.
So, so much for them.
H-Town down.
So much for winning 18 in a row, whatever what we said they could do last week. They lost 6-5 in extra innings against Sam Houston State. But again, they did run roll.
I did mention, for what it's worth, I mentioned that Sam Houston game is one you got to worry about.
Well, yeah, because they always played 23 innings or whatever against Sam Houston State.
Sam's a good program.
Yep. So they
lost to who else was it? Texas State.
Texas State was bad. They lost 11-1 on Tuesday.
Yeah.
To Texas State, but they did beat Texas State 10-0 on Saturday, and they also run rolled A&M Corpus Christi or whatever that was on Friday too. So the 2 run roll games, and they lost in extras against a good Sam Houston team that always gives us trouble.
So here is what we have to think about as fans, right, Billy? We have to think about how much of that is just baseball being baseball, and how much of that is cause for concern.
Well, here's what I think. I think the Sam Houston game is baseball being baseball. You're on your Sunday game. You're on really your 4th starter because, again, I think TCU was out with at least 2 arms because of COVID. Mm-hmm. And then they had to turn around and be on their, I think, 5th arm to go against Texas State when the rematch on Tuesday. And that was the Matador. I love the Matador.
He had
a rough first inning, and it just snowballed from there. A bunch of snowballs in this episode. Just snowballed from there, and they got it in hand. So when you're asking your pitching staff, hey, we're without 2 of our 3 best arms, we're going into a 5-game and 6-day stretch, you're going to be taxed at some point. And so you needed that 2, 3, 4. You needed your 5th guy, Matador, to put on a good show, and he couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. So, it was a bummer. But then they rebounded to beat UTSA 6-3 on Wednesday. Connor Shepard went yard, also an RBI ground out in that game. So, yeah, they rebounded. I think it's just so hard to look at the schedule and say, ooh, 11-1 loss to Texas State. Why did that happen? But if you look at how taxed the arms were, mm-hmm. it's a little more acceptable. But you got to think about, when you get to Omaha, if you lose that first game, you're playing, 5 games in 5 days or whatever.
You got to be ready for that.
You got to be ready for the situation. And hopefully COVID won't be as much of an issue by then, because that's another reason they were short on arms during this stretch too. So, it was just I'm gonna call it just a blip. I still think going forward, this is still gonna be a very successful team. But it just seems like they're not quite there, and it's shocking seeing Luke Boyers, Elijah Nunez, and Braden Taylor are all hitting between 300 and 330, and that's it. Phillip Sykes sitting 421, but those are those 3 guys are the freshmen that are all hitting over 300. And then everyone, players that are coming back, are like, we got everyone back. Let's do this. Let's ride. And they're all hitting in the 200s. It's okay, well, that's a bit of a letdown. So I don't know if it's just trying to get the timing right. I don't know if their practice is being thrown off by everything either.
And you have to think with baseball. I mean, those numbers are going to level out more.
They will. Eventually. And we're still early. We're still early. That's why they play 162 games or whatever they play in college.
Yeah.
It's not exactly true, but it is a lot. They're playing 3 games against Gonzaga starting at 6:30 tonight.
That's going to be an interesting series.
They play 2 on Saturday and 1 on Sunday. So, yeah, there's going to be a total of 8 games in 10 days or something like that. So it's taxing. It's tough on the arm. So we'll see if they can come through.
Between Gonzaga and Lafayette, I think you learn a lot more about this team.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know if Gonzaga is good at baseball. I have no idea.
I'm just assuming that they're halfway decent.
That they're decent because their basketball team's good. They are 6-7 on the season. They beat Kansas State 17-5. So either but then they lost to them 1-6 within 2 days of each other to start the season in the Sanderson Ford College Baseball Classic.
Okay.
They took 2 out of 3 from DBU. Nope, 2 out of 4 rather. They split that series. I didn't scroll down fast enough. They took 2 out of 3 from University of Portland. Oh, here you go. Their last two games, they played against Texas Tech on Tuesday and Wednesday this week. They lost 4-5 in both of them.
Mm-hmm.
So they played tough with Texas Tech, who is considered with TCU the two best teams in the Big 12. Yeah. So I don't think it's not gonna be a gimme.
Yeah.
So
I was right.
You were right. You were right. So the record it's more than what the record says. It's 6-7. So be ready. Come ready to play. I think it's gonna be a good series. So get out to Lupton this weekend if you want.
Yeah.
I think the weather. I think it might rain Sunday morning, but I think outside of that, it's gonna be fine. It's just humid.
Yeah, it's kind of just gross right now.
It is the aptly put. Gross, I think, is the correct way of putting it outside.
Yeah. That's why I chose it.
Good word. Refreshing Twitter. Nothing standing out to me so far.
Let's talk spring football.
All right, some things that aren't gross. Hopefully,
yes,
this is gonna be this team. So spring ball starts Monday. They play. I think they're going 3 weeks because spring break. I think is this week that just happened for TCU.
I have no clue.
I think
I didn't know that this was spring break.
I think this week was spring break for TCU. So I think they're going the next 3 weeks straight. Then you have the spring game, which I think they're expecting to open up the stadium and let you come out for that. So that'll be fun to watch.
Yeah.
So what are you thinking when you think of spring football for this team this year? Again, you said 2021 winning the national title this year. What are you expecting to see from this team in the spring? Again, C is relative because we might get to go to one practice.
Right. Yeah. I think it's hard for me to say expecting, but I am hoping to see an offensive line that continues to gel and that comes into its own, and that specifically with some of these new additions, because you know you lost Austin Myers to Memphis, you basically traded him for easy, and then you lost T.J. Stormont, so you got someone needed to fill into his spot. Just want to see what this offensive line looks like, if they can be what we need them to be. And then the other thing that I specifically am really interested in, because I'm not worried about safety. Whoever's going to fill in at safety, we've got just a wealth of options. I'm very interested to see who fills in that second linebacker spot for Garrett Wallow.
So I do think that's one of the three big questions I have. By the way, I just got an email about Pro Day that is a week from today. So
okay.
It's Pro Day. So keep on the lookout for that. With Artavius Lynn, Trevon Merrick, Garrett Wallow, Davis Washington, and Prowell all expected to participate.
There we go.
But yeah, you mentioned Wallow. So guys, to be the second linebacker spot, I think the leader in the clubhouse is probably Wyatt Harris.
I mean, he's had the most playing time.
He has had the most playing time. But is he the highest upside guy?
That's a good question.
I think the highest upside as far as best athlete might be Jamoy Hodge.
I was going to say that. Yes.
So I think that is the guy.
I keep going back to Kenny Kane whenever we had him on the show recently, and he was talking about Jamoy Hodge specifically and having seen some of his tape. I'm like, that's a guy that I'm interested to see if he can be something for us.
I might hit up Kenny Kane and see if he's available to talk next week. If he's seen this, or if he gets to go to practice next week, because he's also a local football coach over at Trinity Valley.
So
maybe he gets to go sneak in and watch a little bit of practice, so we can hit him up and get some the inside scoop. But yeah, Jamoy Hodge, I think, is probably him or Wyatt Harris. I think are the top two candidates to get that second linebacker spot. Mm-hmm. I think D. Winters was really impressive last year. I think he still needs to do some of the stuff that we saw Garrett Wallow get into, where coverage can lack at times.
Mm-hmm.
But D. Winters is explosive enough to where he can make up for a little bit of that. So we'll see if Jamoy Hodge or Wyatt Harris can do that as well.
Man, the way he came on last year, D. Winters, was I think I will say it was a surprise to me just how good he got as the year went on. And, you really feel good about him being that returning linebacker of the two in that 4-2-5, I think.
I do. I agree. I feel as well where he's I think you lock down that one spot, the top linebacker spot. He'll probably lead the team in tackles next year. At least I hope so.
He was one of those guys that, you know, Coach P talked about being excited about. You think that we should learn to trust Coach P by this point.
He's done this for 21 years now. Maybe he knows what he's talking about, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but he's like a total spark plug. You plug him in, just goes.
Yes.
Yeah, so D-Winners, I think, is going to be good there. So I think those are the guys to watch the second linebacker spot. My biggest question is the gelling of the offensive line. Because, you know, there is a new left tackle in town.
Yeah.
So with TJ Storman gone, and again, I think you might have texted me after it happened. TC basically traded Memphis Austin Myers for Obin and Easy. Mm-hmm. I think Easy's going to be the starter left tackle. I feel good about that.
Yeah.
John Land's probably a left guard, at least to start the year. Mm-hmm. At center, you got Steve Avila and Coy McMillan probably fighting back and forth. I will say the center is probably TCU center is probably the best position in the country.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Between Avila and McMillan and Brandon Brown. They like it that spot a lot too. So you feel good about the center spots. And Avila kicked over at tackle some as well last year.
Yes.
So you feel good about the dexterity of Steve Avila, and maybe Coy McMillan plays at center because Avila can be the backup at the tackles and center and guards and is more valuable in that way.
He's putting together himself a nice little NFL resume.
He is. But again, he's still, what, just a sophomore.
I know.
He's young. Blake Hickey, who earned his scholarship, replacing Harris at that right guard spot. So I think that's a battle to watch going forward. Mm-hmm. And then at right tackle, you've got Andrew Coker. And then Michael Nichols is a name to watch. And so is Garrett Hayes.
Yeah.
At the tackle spot. So,
well, and Brandon Coleman, I think, is fair
Coleman,
to throw in there.
Coleman's fair to throw in there as well. So that's another guy that's going to be competing for spots.
You've got some versatility with a lot of these guys. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, I mean, you know, we keep thinking that Andrew Coker is going to be great one of these
days. I love
him.
I've been talking about him for years.
And we feel the same way about Garrett Hayes. But if for whatever reason the two of them aren't ready to step up yet, I feel phenomenally about putting Steve Avila out at right tackle and leaving Coy McMillan at center.
Yep, I agree.
You know, so the pieces are there. That's why I say that's the thing that I am most interested in. And quite frankly, every TCU fan should be most interested in how this offensive line comes together and gels. Because as this line goes,
so
is how
offense.
The offense is going to go. And that is what we need. I mean, the offense is going to determine whether we can achieve our potential this year or whether we're going to be really freaking disappointed.
Yep. Well, it's really not just the offense, it's the offensive line. If they can give Duggan more than 2 seconds back there, Duggan can make things happen. And we saw Quentin Johnson step up in a big way, obviously.
And Marcell Brooks.
Marcell Brooks, wide receiver. Did you see the video going around of him catching passes from Sam Jackson?
Yes.
Yes. So that's going to be fun. Fun competition. I'm hoping we get to go watch a little bit more than just a day of practice someday in the next week or two. So keep an eye out for that. Definitely check out Horned Frog Blitz for all of your news and notes there. Oh, at safety, Josh Foster or TJ Carter, the other transfer from Memphis. Mm-hmm. Bud Clark or Donovan Collins. I keep wanting to make Donovan Collins a thing. I keep going to make it. I was the same way about Vernon Scott. It didn't happen until his senior year, and I was playing for the Packers. Just saying.
Yeah.
Do I know talent or do I know talent?
you got an eye, Billy.
I got an eye. And then Lekidrick Van Zandt and Nuke Bradford, obviously, also are some names to look at the safety spots.
Yeah.
But yeah. Keep an eye out there. Horned Frog Blitz. Me on Twitter. Drew on Twitter. You on Twitter. Jeremy on Twitter. Well, you just keep an eye. I think we're doing a Frogcast episode this weekend as well. So get excited for that.
Nice.
So get some more nuggets from Jeremy on the eve of spring football.
Dip those in some Chick-fil-A sauce and go to town. Yummy.
Have you gotten a bottle of Chick-fil-A sauce from Walmart yet?
No. I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh, yeah. The Walmart that's right here, right where I live, has them.
Okay.
So if you want to make a half a mile long detour,
I was needing to get some groceries this afternoon. So
there you go. They have the Chick-fil-A sauce and the Polynesian sauce.
The last time you directed me in the direction of some groceries, it was a wonderful decision. For those of you who haven't had them yet,
they might not be available anymore.
Yeah, I might just be just teasing you here, but the S'mores Girl Scout cookies. Oh my Lord! You want to talk about the best? Definitely the best Girl Scout cookies. I'm going to say it. They're the best Girl Scout cookies ever. And they are getting retired this year. The year that I discovered them. Thanks to you, Billy.
You're welcome.
So now I get to languish in my missing them for the rest of my life. And I want all of y'all to share in my pain because misery loves company. So find some S'mores Girl Scout cookies if you can.
I'm sure they'll bring them back at some point.
It'll be like the McRib.
Yeah, seasonal. Every 5 years, seasonal.
They'll go on a tour, too.
See, I thought the McRib was coming back permanently this time.
Oh, who knows? Dude, who knows? I have not eaten a McRib since I was probably like 7 years old. Yeah, you're not. And I'm sure I'm better for it.
Yeah, probably. You're definitely healthier for it. Breaking news, J-Lo and A-Rod split.
Oh, wow. Okay.
According to the New York Post, as of 50 minutes ago.
What does this mean for the state of TCU athletics?
It means that A-Rod is going to be on the rebound. He's got $250 million he's going to invest into Lupton Stadium.
Let's do it.
That he got from, that he fraudulently stole from the Texas Rangers. that's my birthday
Good
twin.
Good times.
My birthday twin, Alex Rodriguez.
Good times.
So he's like 12 years older than me.
When is your birthday, Billy? Remind me.
July 27th.
July 27th. Okay. I tweeted one of those little things. It was said, your birth month, I had all these TCU wide receivers. It says your birth month has to catch a contested goal line fade.
Oh, when did you do that? I didn't see that.
I tweeted it this afternoon.
This afternoon?
Yeah, it says your birth month has to catch a contested goal line fade for you to live, to save your life. So are you surviving? I can't remember who I put it in July.
Your Twitter feed. I saw your Arby's thing.
Yeah. Rocket Mortgage. The Michigan State Spartans presented by Rocket Mortgage is a thing. That's an actual thing that has happened.
Well, apparently it's not an actual thing. I think people jumped the shark on that one being too quick.
Well, Yahoo Sports wrote
I think they've since had to correct that because it's not quite that good. But
fake news, you're telling me it's
they've
fake
increased
news.
Their partnership with minus Kevontae Turpin.
Okay, so so are you gonna live, Billy?
No. Are we talking NCAA rules or are we talking fan controlled football rules? Because then I might live.
Oh yes, yes.
So I might survive.
Do a little backflip in here.
You're December, correct?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Shocking you gave yourself Josh Dotson.
Well, I tried to do it actually. I did a little research. I was like, oh, I'm gonna see if I can find out when these guys' birth months are.
Oh, okay.
And his birth month is actually December. So I was like, okay, I feel good about doing
this. What's Turpin's birthday?
Turpin's was I actually couldn't find it. So that's why there was a couple months that I didn't have that I just had to kind of throw guys in that because there were actually a few Decembers, there was a few Januaries, you know, so there's some guys that just kind of had to move around.
I can't Florida 7th maybe or July 7th and no, that can't be right. That's something else. I don't know when his birthday.
You're trying to find an excuse to change your.
Well, no, if it actually is in July, I mean that'd make sense. I mean, yeah, I don't love that, but it's you could have given me a worse option probably.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, hey, he was athletic.
On the
man.
Field, on the field, he was electric.
Yeah,
to say the least.
I'm sure that he caught a fade at some point in his career at TCU. I mean, we threw enough of them this last decade.
True. Likely he did come down with one of them. Did you leave anyone important off this?
Well, you tell me. Those were just some of the first receivers that came to mind. Yeah, I think you get all the ones decade that or so. Or, no, the last 20 years, I guess.
Is Corey Rogers on here?
Yeah, Corey Rogers is on there.
Okay.
Shout out Corey Rogers.
Friend of the podcast.
Friend of the podcast.
I think you got everyone I can think of. Is that Quintilly Harmon?
No, I got LaTerrence Dunbar and Reggie Harrell.
Oh, that's right. 81 is Harrell.
Yeah.
Yes. I keep thinking. I get him.
Harmon was 18.
I get him. See, I'm dyslexic. Thanks.
Oh, okay.
I'm not actually. But I did always have. I was always a fan of Quintilly Harmon.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure.
As well. He's a good guy.
My throngs of my 400 Twitter followers are probably just beside themselves that Quintilly Harmon and Michael DePriest and some of those other folks are not on this list.
I like those guys.
Oh, I mean, so, I like them too.
So we've had some Twitter fun. Getting Twitter questions.
Yeah, let's.
Are we ready for that?
Let's.
By Twitter questions, it's really just text questions today because no one felt like talking on Twitter.
Texter questions.
So that's fine. Let's start with Bayou City. He asked, do you think the teams will have some kind of organized vaccination thing for COVID? I don't think the teams will. I saw GP got his shot yesterday. He got the one dose Johnson & Johnson. I got my second Moderna yesterday, so I'm fully in the clear now.
Get that
so,
one dose Johnson.
Is that what you got?
No, I haven't gotten any vaccines. No,
but yeah. So that's what happens. So I don't think I'm sure they won't make the players do it. I don't think you can make anyone do it, right?
Yeah.
But I'm sure they'll offer it to whoever wants available. Because I saw Don Dowell also got his yesterday at TCU. So I think Dixon. I think Dowell tweeted that Dixon was there with him getting it at the same time. Good so
yeah,
so
I know my grandparents have gotten it at this point. A lot of folks. I mean, yeah. There's a lot of folks getting
it's going around. Yeah. So we're
Rather that be going around than the alternative.
Right. So, yeah, I don't think – I'm sure they won't have a full team-wise organized thing, but I think it's important for the coaches to go do it and set an example on it. I'm sure they – like, me, like I never got a flu shot. I've never had a flu shot.
Me neither.
So I would have just pushed this off.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't have done this if I didn't probably have to. My mom didn't spend 5 hours going over the HEB website refreshing it to get me this. So that's what happened. Go to HEB if you want to get your COVID shot. So – the quarterback room looks interesting now with all the recent entrants. If an athlete like Battle or Honig can move positions, where do you think they land? Battle, I think, is the most likely guy to move because I know he did. He wasn't necessarily he didn't have the put up the eye popping numbers that he had before as quarterback this year.
Yeah,
but yeah, I mean, he could be receiver or corner is most likely spot.
Yeah, I would think either receiver or safety is what I was defensive thinking. Back. Yeah, not like we need as if our receiver room isn't like ridiculously crowded already.
Just took a 5-star linebacker and put him at receiver. Yeah. So we'll
but,
see how that goes.
Honig, man, I could see him. Okay, here. Try this on for size. Okay. Yeah, because I was my first thought was tight end. Like, okay, you could see that. And then I was like, oh, maybe he goes to linebacker. But then I was like, okay, hold on. I just had a galaxy brain moment, yes. Right? I'm Come thinking on, like
it.
GP. Defensive end, Alexander Honig. Oh, I was see thinking, it in my mind's eye.
I was thinking linebacker go on full on blitzkrieg.
Like, no, it's, oh, okay, so, yeah.
There you go.
Call oh, man. The nickname writes itself.
Yes, it does.
Oh, my God. I mean, I'm going to be thrilled whenever he's on the field, however he's on the field. And he could very well be a prodigy at quarterback. But, yeah.
Yeah.
If he moves, I wouldn't mind seeing him on defense. And I could see Coach P saying, like, look at this gigantic German man that I have
here. German like German tackler.
You shall play on the defensive line and you shall make them cry.
You are quarterback, you hit quarterback.
In East Germany, quarterback hits you.
Yeah, see. Which sounds cooler, Maxion Jackson, Battle Honig, which I'm like, and he couldn't come up with a cool one for Chandler Morris. I was like, the chandelier, I think would be a pretty cool
the
one.
The Chan man.
I think, but Maxion Jackson makes you think of like Maxion, like Tuesday Night Football, yeah. Toledo versus Miami, Ohio. So I don't want to get away from that. I mean, but Alexander the Great, I feel like it's a pretty good one for Honig.
There you go.
I think
yeah.
It's pretty
Anything
easy.
That puts him in a Viking helmet?
Yes, I agree.
Let's do that.
Yes. Do you think the loss to San Jose State was that they just weren't focused? So that was the extra innings game. I think it was really just short on arms, man. I really do. I think they're just not going to say out of patience, but you get to a point where you have these college arms that are so young and learning, and just go throw a million innings this weekend and see what happens.
Yeah.
And it caught up to them on that one. So what the heck happened against Texas State? I think it was the same thing. I think it was you asked your fifth or sixth starter to go out there and have a good start, and he did not. So yeah. Against a team that's full of Texas high school baseball players that are really good. I mean –
Yeah.
It's hard to be like – and Texas State, again, that's a game they gear up for, right? These are kids that probably
– Oh, yeah.
Like I say, I'll want to go to TCU, but it's like when TCU beats Texas every year in football. Like Texas didn't want us. TCU didn't want us for baseball. And it's way easier to pick off a team on a Tuesday, middle of the night at their house than it is to do that on a Saturday. So
You can't outrun arm fatigue either.
Overall, the team seems like they are still working through some stuff. Definitely have potential, but it seems like they still need time to put it together. Yeah, I agree. I think they're still working on things. And again, a lot of games in a few amount of days. But it's been really impressive to see how good the freshmen are. So I really like that an awful lot.
Yeah.
So very satisfied.
I mean, there's no reason to lose optimism for this season.
No, it's still early.
We're good, man. We're all good.
Oh, I retweeted your thing. And you got a couple people reacting to it.
So, huzzah!
Yeah, you got some more. Love. You're welcome.
Yeah, thank you.
The Billy Wessels bump.
What can you say? Except you're welcome.
Someone else got a Dotson. Someone got a Jeremy Curley. So they're very happy for your list.
They're happy for themselves.
Yes. Last set of questions here. Skiff, excellent young man, Colin Post, who's debating getting in the podcast world himself. I would love to listen to his show one of these days. Had a couple Twitter questions, which I will say, and I feel bad for suggesting it, but when I'm right, I'm right. I got to throw it out there. So he went to the Big 12 tournament hoping to see TCU play Baylor. Basically, it was like, hopefully just get to that second game. I go, that's a lot of waste of time to go watch us lose by 20 to Kansas State. That's what I said.
Oh, my God. So this is your fault.
This is my fault. And so during the game, I went through it, went back and emphasized that we were losing by 20. Yes. He said Kansas State doesn't have the piece to beat anyone by 20, and I beg to differ.
Famous last words.
Right? But yes, his Twitter questions are, If you replace any TCU starter with Cade Cunningham, do they win on Wednesday? He says no. I also say no because I think the way they were playing Wednesday was such a – it wouldn't matter how good the best player was.
Yeah.
If you replace whoever had the worst game, I don't even know – I don't even want to look at the box. We're going to see who had the worst game.
Everyone was throwing the ball away. I mean, Nimbar, no one was hitting shots.
Nimbar led with 11 points. So it's, no matter what.
Yeah.
Say he gets 10 more points than Mike Miles had, I think, 9. So say he gets 20 points. Do you still win that game? No.
If he gets 20 points, then you tie.
You lose by one.
Then you lose by one.
Yeah, lost by 21.
Yeah, so no.
Did RJ...
Let's play this game.
Okay.
Who do you have to get to just put into that team? Like, do you have to have, like, Kobe in his prime to win that game?
Yeah, if Kobe would have put up 81, I think they would have won that game.
Right?
Yes.
So who is the, like, lowest tier... like NBA star that you could replace a starter with on that in that game?
Well, Devin Booker put up 70 a couple years ago. So
okay. You like Devin Booker?
I like any NBA player.
Yeah.
If you put Bane on that team,
okay, there you go.
If you put Bane on that team, do they win on Wednesday?
Oh my God, I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, just because the offense was so comical isn't the right word because it was maddening. It was so bad.
If you have a team of Bane, Miles, Nimbard, Samuel, and O'Bannon. Where does that team finish in the Big 12?
Wait, okay. Bane, Miles, Nimbard, Samuel, O'Bannon. Okay. Yeah. Better than they did. I think that team makes the tournament.
I agree.
The team didn't play that bad. They didn't play Kansas State bad all year. You know, I think you win the Missouri game with that game.
Yeah, yes.
I think that you flip maybe a couple of those... You know, the
West Virginia games where
you
lost by a million free throws, you probably win at least one of those games.
Yes.
The first Kansas game where they lost by like 6 and they were up by 10 with like halfway through the second half, maybe you win that game too. You're right. If you put Bane on this team, they probably win at least 2 more games, maybe 3 more games, and they're probably in the tournament.
Okay.
They're ranked.
So what about if you replace a starter with like 60-year-old Larry Bird, however old he is now, just dishing it out to him, shooting threes.
Larry would, he would. That's the thing is, he wouldn't come back on defense.
No,
just sit in the corner for threes.
I'm just
gonna
chill over here.
I'm over here, throwing the ball. I got a Keystone Light here.
Oh man, I would buy tickets to see that.
I would too. I would too.
I want to see a just mildly interested former NBA stars pickup game. So you get like the Birds and Johnsons and Michael Jordans.
Well,
and Michael's got like a cigar in his mouth.
Well, have you watched any of the Big Three?
Yeah,
that's almost what that is.
That is true.
Lee Nalen was still playing that as of 2 years
ago,
I think. So
that's true. Just get somebody like give Larry Bird an end table in the corner.
But Lee Nalen is Lee Nalen is fun.
Yeah.
But the Big Three is fun. Like it's a fun game. It's a fun idea. You have a 4-point shot in there. It's like deep threes.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah, I think it's a good concept. It's only half court. So you don't have to run as far.
That's probably on like Flow Sports, right?
You've got your subscription for it, so you're ready to go. No, when the season, I think it's during the summer. It airs on like big ABC on Saturdays. Like it's people watch it.
I've known of it, but I've never watched it.
Yeah.
But I guess I should.
Allen Iverson came and like played for like a quarter and then like pulled a hamstring or something and he retired again right there. So it's just funny seeing something.
I'm gonna
like
go
that.
Out on top.
Yes. That was such a fun way to end the show, but he has another question. Did RJ Kevin might care that TCU lost on Wednesday? I think by 10 minutes left in that game, I think everyone had checked out for the season.
It certainly looked like it.
Yes.
Which is, again, extremely disappointing. And that reflects poorly on coaching, but I guess they're thinking about next year, which is what we all should be doing as far as basketball is concerned.
Breaking news again. Schlossnagel just tweeted, limited number of walk-up GA tickets are available for this weekend for baseball.
So if you start walking, folks.
Start walking.
Put
now.
On those boots and start walking.
Boots are made for walking.
Bow.
And that's just what they'll play a different song. But yeah, so hope we answered your questions. That was fun.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's always a good time here at Toad Talk.
It always is a good time at Toad Talk. You got something you're working on you want to promote?
I will be posting a video this weekend for St. Patrick's Day.
That was the idea. We kind of brain hatched live on the show a few weeks back.
So look out for that. And follow me on Twitter @Clint_Foster55. Follow me on Instagram as well, at the Clint Foster, like the Ohio State, except for way, way more likable.
There you go. Definitely more likable, for sure. That's not saying a whole lot. At Billy Wessels.
It's a low bar to clear.
Yes, and then check out Horned Frog Blitz for all your spring football needs as this deck is going next week. And then it is tax season. There's a lot of questions with people that have gotten unemployment this past year and things like that. I don't know what the heck how taxes work, but my dad does.
Lucky so, for you.
Carl Wessels, he has his own business in Waxahachie, but he's pretty good on the phone, too. So I should remember what my dad's phone number is, 972-672-9968. That's 972-672-9968. Reach out to Carl Wessels, CPA, for all of your tax needs this tax season.
All right. And go Frogs, y'all.
Go Frogs.